Vladimir Stasov was a Russian critic and cultural advocate, and he introduced composer Modest Mussorgsky to the Russian artist Viktor Hartmann. And when the time came to mount a memorial gallery exhibition to that mutual friend Viktor Hartmann, Stasov described one of the powerful images in this way. Hartmann's sketch represented his architectural project for a city gate for Kiev in the old Russian style, solid Russian style, with a cupola in the shape of a Slavic helmet. We're told Viktor Hartmann entered a competition for a gate that was to be constructed to commemorate the escape of Tsar Alexander II from an assassination attempt by a young revolutionary in the spring of 1866. The competition was called off, and the gate was never built, but Hartmann apparently considered his rendering his very finest work, according to Nancy Bricard. Some suggest we think of L'Arc de Triomphe in Paris or the Arch of Constantine in Rome and the victorious armies marching through as they returned home in triumph. Do we hear in Mussorgsky's musical tribute to this monument a grand parade at the site in his use of the full brasses? The sudden shift to a harmonized chant leads us to invoke in our imagination the Russian Orthodox liturgy. Might we imagine a procession of the clergy or a line of pilgrims? With a final ringing out of Hartmann's bells in the tower. A magnificent memorial monument bringing to a close a musical monument. Modest Mussorgsky's pictures at an exhibition created as a tribute to a dear friend and the ideals they shared. Interestingly, Mussorgsky's musical project has been inspiring others since its creation. Were you part of the generation that experienced the Emerson, Lake, and Palmer version of Pictures at an Exhibition? Or the synthesizer of Tomita, we'll hear that there is a significant project in Allentown that will reach its culmination this weekend, and the Allentown Symphony will present the premiere of a new work with pieces by living composers inspired by holdings in the collection of the Allentown Art Museum, much in the way Mussorgsky was inspired by Viktor Hartmann's work. There are wonderful inspirations, for example, as Mussorgsky's work reaches its climax with a city scene centering on the national monument, the Great Gate of Kiev, so too the newly created piece closes in an urban space that is Columbus Circle in New York, inspired by a painting that too has a monument at its center, Russo's Tower, paying tribute to the explorer Christopher Columbus, and also nationalistic in its way, with the music, though, expressing the energy and verve of a great city rather than a great gate, more in keeping with something like American in Paris, as Dr. Larry Lipkus tells us. Dr. Larry Lipkus is professor of music and composer in residence at Moravian College in Bethlehem, and he was a judge and partner in the project with Diane Whitry, music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony. And we had a chance to speak with Dr. Lipkus by phone about Mussorgsky's work and the Allentown project that it has inspired.
The Russian composer Mussorgsky was paying tribute to an artist friend of his named Viktor Hartmann, and he captured 10 of Hartmann's works that were exhibited posthumously, and he wrote little music to go in between the pictures as though someone were actually at this gallery looking at one painting and then walking to another painting. They're called the promenades, and those are interspersed between some of the 10 portraits that he captured in music. And he did this for piano, and then he himself orchestrated it, but the more famous one that is performed a lot was orchestrated by Ravel. and that's the one that the Allentown Symphony is playing. It's a magnificent work for piano, and it's even more magnificent, I think, in the orchestrated version.
You've got Ravel there, who is Meister Orchestrator.
He certainly is. There's nobody better. It's just brilliant, brilliant imagination. So I think what's fascinating about this particular project is there will be an animation produced by the University of Southern California Animation School, which will accompany the performance. So we'll be able to see a creative work based upon another creative work. So I haven't seen this yet. Diane Whitrey evidently saw it 5 years ago and said, I've got to do this with the Allentown Symphony. And what happened was we had just been finishing up our previous project, the Enigma project, which was a big success last year. And we got together at a Barnes & Noble cafe, and I said, Diane, I would really love to do more. I have this idea of having a kind of localized pictures at an exhibition using the Allentown Art Museum collection. And she just leaped at that because she said, I've been planning to do the pictures with this animation. And so it was meant to be. So this is really our second collaboration, and so we began working out all the details, and we decided to make it a competition, as we did with the Enigma Variations, open to composers of all ages. We wanted to broaden the geographic base, so we had Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York-based composers. We had categories for K through 8, high school, college, and adult, and the stipulation was they had to either go to the Allentown Art Museum or look at their collection online and choose a work of art and then capture it in music under 3 minutes. And then we would, Diane Whitrey and I and one other judge, would make a decision. There were 27 entries total, and we came up with 7 that are going to be performed this coming weekend. And I was tasked with the job, the happy job, of writing the little promenade music that goes in between the pieces to sort of lead the viewer from one work to another. So that's basically the genesis of the work.
They have quite a collection at the Allentown Museum, from Renaissance pieces right up to American living, breathing artists.
They do. It's a very good collection, and every time I'm there, I'm struck by some novel items that I hadn't seen before, and it was very interesting to see what drew the attention of these 7 composers. So the first piece is by actually the youngest composer, Sophie Wen, who's a 7th grader, and she chose a work which is really more of an installation. It's not a painting. It's a work called River Pebbles, and it was done by the German artist Mary Bauermeister, who is still alive. She at one point was married to the composer Stockhausen. He's a very, very significant German contemporary composer. And she's interested in structures, not necessarily paintings, but just structures that deal with nature and trying to divine meaning from nature using actual objects of nature. So this work is actually a 3-dimensional work of river pebbles that she stacked so that they actually come out to the viewer. It's a 3-dimensional work, and she glued them on, and they are in various shapes, but they're all these smooth river pebbles. And this really struck Sophie Wen's imagination. She immediately was drawn to this one, and she decided to capture this using primarily strings, a few winds, vibraphone, and harp, and it has a very gentle, calming quality. She really tried to, I think, capture in music the shape of this particular work, River Pebbles, as it comes out to the viewer and then recedes back into the wall. Then we are following that with the next youngest composer, who is one of the winners of the Enigma competition last year, Yash Prasnajur, and he is a very, very talented young fellow. He is now, I think, a 9th grader. He's studying at Juilliard in the pre-college division. And the work of art that captured his attention was a very dramatic work called The Sinking of the Cumberland by Edward Moran. Edward Moran was born in England. He emigrated to America, and he was very famous for specializing in American maritime history. He painted a lot of scenes of naval ships, and he's really brilliant at capturing the kind of the light and the drama at sea. And this is a painting of the sinking of a ship around the Civil War era by the Merrimack. And this appealed to actually 2 of our composers, Yash, and then one of the adult composers, Ben Goldberg. They each painted that in sound, and they had a very, very different take on it. So I think our audiences will be very interested to hear how this painting plays out in the minds of a young composer who's in his early teens, and then a seasoned professional composer. What Yash did was he seemed to capture the excitement and the color of the scene. I call it a kind of young person's guide to a naval battle, because it's very, very exciting and full of life, and it's just for strings. What Ben Goldberg did, by comparison, he used the full orchestra, and he painted a scene that really depicts the actual sinking of the ship from the perspective of the people on board, the sailors on board the sinking ship. So it's filled with scrambling sounds and frantic activity, and you really understand the sheer terror of being aboard a ship that is sinking, and it finally ends with a little very, very low bass clarinet sinking, and that you can really very graphically imagine this ship finally sinking. I think the interesting thing about the project is that these paintings, works of art, just capture a moment. We can take them all in 1 second, but a work of music, of course, takes place over time. So these composers are visualizing an entire scene. And what Ben Goldberg did was imagine the very beginning of this battle, and then the culmination when the ship is actually sinking. We don't, of course, see that in the painting, but we can imagine it. Then we have a work by the composer named Jorge Sosa. He is a Mexican-born composer, currently a music professor at Molloy College on Long Island. He chose a work by Hans Moller called Sunrise. And Moller was a German-born artist who came to America in 1938 to flee Hitler. His wife was Jewish, and he felt it was time to leave. And he settled in Allentown, and he lived there until his death in 2000. And he called himself a colorist. His style is a little bit hard to pin down. He just loves color. He will use it in abstract paintings and in impressionistic paintings. And this particular scene is more in the impressionistic style. It's called Sunrise, and it depicts a sun just emerging from what looks like a waterscape. And I think, again, what Jorge is doing here is pretty much like what Ben is doing with the sinking of the Cumberland. He's depicting an entire scene where first we don't really see the sun. We just get the rays very slowly emerging from below the horizon. And then finally, in a blaze of glory, the sun emerges, and we have a kind of denouement of just the full sun emerging. So it's a very, again, it takes place over 3 minutes of the sun rising above the ocean. Following that, there's a work by composer Nathan Ball, who is I think he's a DMA student at Peabody currently. He lives in the Philadelphia area. He chose a work, the only Renaissance work of the group. It's called The Adoration of the Shepherds by the artist Lodi, Giovanni Agostino da Lodi, who's not very well known. He lived in Milan, and he was contemporary with Da Vinci, and he probably was influenced by him. It's a very beautiful work, very, very colorful, with the color sort of focused in on the Holy Family. And there is a shepherd right in the middle playing a lute. And so I think what Nathan did was he focused on that image, and he brought out the very quiet, serene sounds of a lute by using a harp and a very lovely melody, which does have a contemporary quality. He's not trying to write Italian Renaissance music, but there is definitely a quality in the piece that does suggest a simpler, earlier time. So it's a very restful piece. It makes a nice contrast to some of the louder, more assertive pieces around it. Following that, there is a work by a South Korean-born composer named Hyung Yang, and she chose a work by Hiroshiga, a print called Driving Rain. He is probably the most famous artist of this group, and he was from the Edo period. It's a beautiful woodcut of peasants just huddled, walking under a driving rainstorm. What Hyung did was pretty much what the other composers did. They just depicted the entire scene where we are before the rain and then during the rain, the thunderous driving rain, and then it ends with the clouds clearing. And she used only strings the way Yash did, but she divides the string section into 16 parts, which is a lot. And she gives them very, very interesting special effects, like very high harmonics and a lot of tremolo, and very sudden crescendos and decrescendos, and it really sounds like you are in a rainstorm. I think people are going to want to, you know, bring parkas and umbrellas when they come to this. It captures a sudden rainstorm so beautifully. I think all the judges were very impressed on how striking the work was. And the set concludes with a work by one of the younger composers. He's a college student, a former college student, Colin Woritch, who actually grew up in Bethlehem and is now living and working in Philadelphia. And he chose a work by Colin Campbell Cooper called This American Century, Columbus Circle, New York. So I'm sure many of your listeners know where Columbus Circle is, around 59th and Broadway. And this was painted by Cooper in the late 19th century. He was a Pennsylvania Impressionist and specialized in buildings. In fact, the New York Times once called him the skyscraper artist par excellence. So he loved to capture buildings in various lights times of the day. And so this is a scene of Columbus Circle. Most of it is skyscrapers and the buildings that were there around the turn of the century. What our composer did, Colin Woritch, was focus on the small part of the painting where we see trolleys and horse-drawn carriages, and we see some bustling activity. So his piece is quite energetic and I think is a little bit like kind of a Gershwin-style piece where you have a kind of like American in Paris, some honking horns and the hustle and bustle, the energy of a big city. So we decided to end with that one because it's a very compelling, driving piece with a fine finish. So that's the set of pieces that the audience will hear, and that's the very beginning of the program. And then the second half will be the actual pictures and exhibition by Mussorgsky, Ravel, with the animation to watch in the background.
When it came to not only making the decisions that all of you made as judges to choose these seven pieces, then it did come to you to weave together the disparate elements and make it some sort of a coherent musical piece, suite. Did you use the same promptings of, say, a theme, a walking theme from one painting musical piece to the next? How did you do that?
Yeah, I did. Well, what I started with, the first piece called Promenade, I'm imagining just a couple of people strolling in the art museum, so it's in a kind of lilting meter, and then they stop in front of a painting. And in between the paintings, I try to move from one mood of the painting to another mood. That's not always what Mussorgsky did, but I thought it might be fun to try to do that, to sort of come out of one mood and set up the other mood, as though we finished looking at one painting, we're still thinking about it, but we're walking to another painting, and then we see another painting, and our minds begin to appreciate the new painting, which might be totally different from the other one. So I did keep that kind of lilting, walking meter in all the promenades, but the melodic material or the harmonies might reflect what people have just heard and anticipate what people are about to hear.
Will there be images? Will there be slides?
Oh, yes. Every painting will be exhibited as the piece is being heard. So everyone in the audience will see the work of art that is being portrayed. And that's the same thing with the Mussorgsky Ravel. And with the local version, we will see the work of art projected onto a screen as the orchestra plays the work.
And there will be a Rodrigo piece in between?
Yes, this lovely Concerto de Aranjuez. It's just a gorgeous piece. It's one that all guitarists know and love. It has a second movement which features the oboe, and it is absolutely to die for. It's one of the most gorgeous slow movements of any concerto I know. It's worth the price of admission, that one movement. But it's a wonderful work. So it's a kind of break between the pictures pieces. We start with the contemporary pictures. We have the concerto for guitar and orchestra, intermission, and then the pictures and exhibition by Mussorgsky, Ravel.
Have you yourself composed from any canvases in the course of your composing life?
Well, I'd have to think about that. I'm sure I have, as I look back on it, because I do love art of all periods. And when I teach to my college students, I'm always doing slideshows with art to try to show the relationship between the artists and the composers of a period, because very often the artists and composers knew each other, and some composers were actually artists like Schoenberg, and were very, very much taken in by the artistic community. I can't bring to mind a particular painting that has influenced me, although I wrote a piece called Ukiyo-e not too long ago. It was a chamber work for flute, cello, and piano, and that's based on an art style, Ukiyo-e, which is from the Edo period. In fact, the Hiroshige Driving Rain would be categorized as an Ukiyo-e piece. It's basically works showing a lighter side of society, tea houses, people walking, kabuki actors. I was inspired, I think, more by the style. I think I'd been to the new pavilion at the Met in New York and was just taken in by the beauty of the work. There's also a Japanese pavilion in the Los Angeles Art Museum that I've been to many times and looked at their collection. So I don't think there's any one painting that inspired me, but certainly the aesthetic, particularly that ukiyo-e period, which would be late 18th and into the 19th century, called the Edo period in Japanese art.
Well, there'll certainly be a lot to hear and to see this weekend. Larry, fill us in on how we can take it all in.
Well, the where and when is that it's at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown, and the first concert is Saturday night at 7:30, and then the second concert is Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m.
And there will be a chance on Friday, right? Will you and Diane get together?
Oh, yes. There's always the brown bag lunch. That's something Diane loves to do, and I've been a part of that for a couple of projects. That's open to the public. You can bring a lunch. It doesn't have to be in a brown bag, or you can have lunch before or after. But this is where the composers, as many of them as can be there, some live rather far away, and they might be working on a Friday, so they might not be able to come. But those that can come will be there to talk about their work and answer any questions. The guitarists will be there. And, of course, Diane Whitry and I will be there to just talk about the music. So those are very nice events because you do get quite a good number of people who are interested in getting a little more in-depth information. It's very informal, so if anybody wants to come during their lunch break on Friday, it's well worth the effort to get to the Symphony Hall for this event.
The project has so many things going for it, Larry. You're working with regional composers, an orchestra based right here, an art museum with a wonderful collection right here. What do you all see as the value, the larger value of a project like this?
Well, I think for one thing, it brings together several different art forms, music and art, which I love. And it also is very community-minded, which is something Diane Whitry and I are both very fond of, the idea of a kind of collaboration between the Allentown Symphony and the Allentown Art Museum, which, after all, are neighbors. They are just about a block away in Allentown, and it seemed like this is almost a very natural combination of arts organizations. And I'm always interested in this type of collaboration. I'd love to do more, and Diane and I have talked. We sort of brainstormed about other possibilities down the line, but she is already very, very community-minded and likes to do shows involving the orchestra in sort of unconventional venues like, you know, an ice skating rink, like Holidays on Ice. And so she's up for that. And I think as a composer herself, she's very interested in promoting new music. I think it's a good message that new music does not have to be, you know, forbidding and austere, but it can capture the imagination. It can be very dramatic. It can portray a work of art in a way that we can all recognize and appreciate. So I guess the larger message would be one of collaboration and a kind of appreciation of the power of contemporary music and art in collaboration with each other.
Dr. Larry Lipkus, professor of music and composer in residence at Moravian College in Bethlehem, speaking with us about the Pictures at an Exhibition 2018 project to be presented this weekend, featuring the Allentown Symphony Orchestra under the direction of their music director, Diane Whitry, with a special animation created by the University of Southern California School of Cinematic Arts to accompany Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition. Also, the new creation, inspired by Mussorgsky's Pictures, featuring pieces by seven composers responding to works in the Allentown Art Museum. In between, Rodrigo's Concierto de Aranjuez with guitarist Tengue Zhang. And that's all this weekend in Allentown. there will be a Meet the Artists noon brown bag lunch this Friday, March 9th. Allentown Symphony Music Director and Conductor Diane Whitry will lead the talk, and Dr. Larry Lipkus will be on hand, the guitarist, the conducting fellow, and more. That's free. And the website to check, millersymphonyhall.org, millersymphonyhall.org. And that's where the concert will be held twice, this Saturday evening, March 10th at 7:30, and again Sunday, March 11th at 3 in the afternoon. Miller Symphony Hall, 23 North 6th Street in Allentown. For more information on the web, millersymphonyhall.org, millersymphonyhall.org. The Pictures at an Exhibition Project 2018, presented by the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, working with images from the Allentown Art Museum, composers, seven of them, living, breathing composers, creating responses to pictures from the collection in the Allentown Art Museum, performed by the Allentown Symphony Orchestra under Diane Whitry. Also on the program, Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition with the USC animation to accompany the music, and then Rodrigo's Concierto de Aranjuez. For more information on the web, millersymphonyhall.org. It's Saturday, March 10th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, March 11th at 3, Miller Symphony Hall, 23 North 6th Street in Allentown.